Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with our guest speaker.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you. Lord, I ask that you just open each one of our hearts this morning, that whatever baggage we've been carrying this week, that we just put it down and we come to you with open hearts and open minds, that we may seek you along each step of the way. Lord, may we not be satisfied with just a little of you. May we always want more. May we seek you through it all. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand and worship our Savior this morning. Set aside time each and every day, each and every Sunday, to pray for those who don't know Jesus in our lives. I don't know how many of you guys have been going through the Bible in a year and have been reading it, but this week the plan in Psalms 25, it said in verse 4, make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. I await for you all day long. Our prayer is that our friends and family may come to know that, may come to know that Jesus is right there waiting for them, to teach them the right directions for their lives. We all know people that don't know Jesus, and I bring this up every week because this is important. You know, it's not just about us, it's not about us getting our golden ticket, but it's about people coming to know who our Savior is. You know, in Matthew 28, it's the Great Commission to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again, it's not just about us. This is why I encourage you guys so heavily to take the time to pray for the people in your lives that don't know Jesus, to make that a daily thing. That's why we take a moment inside of service just for this, because it's so important. Because we don't want even one to be lost. How horrible would it be to be in heaven and knowing that just because we kept our mouth shut? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's lift up the people that need Jesus in their lives. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, our heart breaks for each person that doesn't know you. Father, our friends and families are wandering around with nowhere to turn. Father, may you just soften their hearts and open that opportunity for your goodness and grace to be shown. Father, may we speak truth into their lives. May we listen when we need to listen and speak when we need to speak. Father, may they come to know you. We know many have come to know you. But Father, we're praying for one more, each and every one of us. And Lord, we lift these names up to you. We thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Up from the ashes, you're alive. sorrows, bearing our burdens, healing our hearts. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. Chains have been broken, eyes have been open, an army of dragons is starting to rise. Death is defeated, we are victorious, but you are alive. You are God.
You unravel me, With a melody you surround me with, a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. Come on, sing it out. I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child. Again, I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God.
just say thank you that we can be your children. No matter what we're going through, whether we're on the mountaintop or in the valley, you still love us. So we say thank you that we can just lay everything at your feet this morning and just be called your child. We give it all to you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys be seated.
Okay, boys and girls, come on up front. We're going to have our story today. Everybody have a seat up here? How you all doing? Come on down, everyone. Now, I have a question for you all. How many of you love to share your toys? Raise your hand.
I know.
Do you love to share your toys?
No.
Well, yes. Guess what? I'm going to read a story about a little guy that had a little trouble with sharing. His name is Buzzle Billy. Buzzle Billy was a buzzle. Buzzles had a land of puzzles. All the houses, schools, and stores had puzzle walls and puzzle floors. Buzzles made them all that way because, best of all, they liked to play. And Buzzles knew that playing fair meant that they must learn to share. So Buzzle Billy learned one day how sharing was a part of play. He played with other girls and boys. He shared paints and books and toys. What fun he had with all his friends. He thought that it would never end. They rode buzz carts. They played buzz darts. They went on hikes. They rode their bikes. And on and on and on they played till something happened. One sad day, Buzzle Billy saw a boy playing with his favorite toy. "That's mine," he shouted. "Give me that." He pushed the boy and he took it back. Something awful happened next. Something you would not expect. A hand popped out of Billy's side. "Look," the other Buzzles cried, but Billy had not understood. He had a case of gimme hands. When Buzzles turned to selfishness, it got them in an awful mess. Each time they reached for something new, pop, a brand new hand just grew. "Well, this is strange," young Billy thought, but still it didn't make him stop. Another hand would be a help. So Billy grabbed for something else. And when he did, a fourth hand grew. Now that was something new. The more he grabbed, the more hands grew. He now had 10 instead of 2. He grabbed and nabbed up all the toys. He took them all and he laughed with joy. Then all the children ran away. Without their toys, they could not play. Those gimme hands made them afraid. See what trouble Billy made? Now Buzzle Billy laughed with glee. "All these toys belong to me. They are mine, mine, mine. I will not share. I won't play fair." Now that all his friends were gone, Buzzle Billy sat alone. He sat and he played all by himself, all alone, with no one else. And soon he thought, "This is no fun. I need a friend. I'll go find one. I'll make a friend, but I won't share. I'll keep my toys and they'll keep theirs." And so he saw some Buzzles playing ball. "Hello, may I play?" he called. They turned and looked and they saw his hands, all those gimme hands. And then they turned and ran away. "He got gimme hands," they cried. "He'll take our toys. Let's run and hide." Soon all the Buzzle kids were gone, and Buzzle Billy stood alone. "This is no fun," he said. "But I won't share. I will not. I won't give up the toys I've got." But everywhere he looked for friends, Buzzle shouted, "Give me hands!" They shouted, then they ran away. So Billy had no place to play. Biking, Buzzles rode away. Go-kart, Buzzles drove away. Boating, Buzzles rode away. Those Buzzles simply would not stay. When Billy came, the others ran. They ran off shouting, "Gimme hands!" And on it went for days and days. All alone, poor Billy played. How he missed his Buzzle friends. Why did all those good times end? Then as he sat alone and cried, a Buzzle girl came from behind. She saw poor Billy all alone. And she asked him, "Is there something wrong?" "Yes," said Billy, "something's wrong. All my Buzzle friends are gone. Everyone has run away, and there's no one left to play. I have gimme hands, you see, so everyone's afraid of me. What an awful thing I've done. I didn't know what I'd begun." He bawled and sobbed and looked so sad. The Buzzle girl felt so bad. "Well, I'll play with you," she said, "but only if you'll share with me. I sure do like your teddy bear. That's a toy that you could share." Buzzle Billy looked surprised. He wiped the tears out of his eyes. You'll be my friend? Will you? Will you really? "Then I will share," cried Buzzle Billy. He handed her the teddy bear with button eyes and fluffy hair. And can you guess what happened then? Guess what happened to that hand? One gimme hand just disappeared, and Buzzle Billy jumped and cheered, for now he knew why they were there, all because he did not share. So then he shouted very loud. He shouted till he had a crowd. "Come here, Buzzle girls and boys. Who would like to share my toys?" The more he shared, the more they cheered. His gimme hands all disappeared. The Buzzle children laughed and played, and many, many friends were made. For boys and girls who like to share will find a friend most anywhere. Now, tell me, if you don't share, are you happy? If you share, are you usually happy? Do you have more friends? Right. And guess what? In the Bible, it talks about sharing. It says that in Hebrews 13:16, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased." The Bible says we're supposed to share. Well, guess what? I'm going to share with you all today. I thought about sharing a hug, but I thought you'd all run away. But I'm going to give you a candy hug. Would you like a candy hug? Yay. One by one, just come up, and before you walk back, I'll give you a candy hug. Thank you all for coming up.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the good manners.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, thank you, Sammy. That was a real hug. Oh, thank you. Hey, Samuel. Aw, thank you. They started something, sorry. Thank you, Ellie. You don't have to hug me. Thank you, kids. Thank you. Thanks for the real hugs. I like that. There you go. Thank you, honey. There you go, sir. There you go. You're welcome. You want a hug? There you go, mister. Aw, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Damien. Okay, that's the biggest hug. Thank you. You're welcome.
Good morning. Am I loud enough? Everybody hear me? I only heard like three good mornings. We know how this works. Interaction. I heard another one. Awesome. That's better. Excellent. So, you know, the awesome song we ended with, right? You know, we are no longer slaves to what? Fear. Why? We are children of God. Amen? Amen? It could not have been said better. All through our lives, we go through issues, right? One way or another. No matter what it is. All through lives, our lives, we're fearful of something, are we not? Depression. Sticky hands. Right? Yeah, there you go. All through life. God put me on this journey years ago, and I've been in Acts. So we're going to be in Acts again today. I hope that's all right with you. If it's not, guess what? We're going to be in Acts anyways. So those of you who are listening, welcome. I appreciate it. Those of you watching, welcome. I appreciate it. If you ever don't have the opportunity for communion, call the church. Come on now. Call the church. The pastors here are more than happy to do it. If they can't, guess who will? I will, right? You want prayer, call the church. If the pastors can't do it, guess who will? I will, amen, right? That's what the body is about. That's what we're all about. You know, I go through life. I don't sleep well. Some of you know that. It's difficult. 2-3 hours. I may go days without sleep. And the only thing that I've found on this journey that excites me, the only thing that I've found on this journey is the word of the Lord, right? It fires me up. The Acts of the Apostles should fire you up. It should get you to a point where you're bubbling, overflowing, that everything you do is exciting to you. That's what it's about, that God has us all on this journey, and where we've started and where we're going is two different ways, right? That hopefully we started on the bottom step and we've worked our way up, like what Kerwin had a few weeks ago with the ladder illustration. That was an awesome illustration, right? That's what God has us for. That's what it's about. So we're going to be in Acts today. We're going to be in Acts chapter 6. And I labeled this, would you? And you'll find out closer to the end of what I mean by would you. And the purpose of Acts was the church growth, the apostles doing what they were supposed to do, doing what they were called to do. Pastor said it earlier, Matthew, right? They were to go, right? They were to go and make disciples, aren't we not? And not only make them disciples, but we're to baptize them, right? Right? We're going to not hold them under to hold them under, but to hold them under out of grace and love and lift them up fresh and renewed and take them alongside of us under our wing and guide them through the process. And that's what you get in the book of Acts. How could we not be excited, right? We come up here. Guess what I'm bringing you today, folks? The good news. Am I not? That our Lord died. That he was buried. That he rose. And guess what? He empowered us. Every one of us here. Every one of us are empowered in different ways. Kathy, awesome job. I could not do that. I'd be bubbling over the bumbling of my own lips. There's no way I could do that. Right? All of us have a position within the New Testament church to do something great, to do something wonderful for the Lord. And guess what? We may never see it. Can you agree with that? Yes or no? Come on. I'm going to go get coffee and get an IV. Is Denny here? We're going to put an IV coffee right into you if we have to. Seriously. Get excited, folks. Yes, thank you. That is what it's about. The last time I was here and we talked on Acts chapter 4, 23 through 31. And it gives us a guidance of our prayer. And if you go through this, I really firmly believe that your prayer life will change. And it's the apostles praying for boldness. And it's apostles looking to see what they can do to fire themselves and get them pumped up. The first thing is adoration. I went over it before, that love, respect, and worship of our God is we have to understand who our God is. That when we go to him, it's not like, hey, God, I want this, I want this. That we go to him and say, God, you are the God of the universe. You are the creator. You knew me in my mother's womb. You knitted every fiber together with me. That's who you are. You are a loving God. You go further, right? Omnipotence, that we understand the full power of our God, that everything our God has, he has control of. Amen? He has control over the good, yes? He has the control over the bad, yes? He allows it. It's for God. He controls it. Acts 4:27 through 28. How about supplication, that we understand that word to the fullest, that we go before our God, lay on our face in full petition, that we're there, we're appealing, we're requesting of our God, we're requesting of our Father to the fullest. Dad, I need 50 bucks. Is that requesting? Dad, I love you with everything I have. Father, you're the provider of my shelter. God, you are the armor bearer for me and fight my battles. God, can I have 50 bucks? Get it right. Get it in line. Understand who our Father is. If you understand those three things, I can promise you, boldness in prayer will come. That when you go and you pray for somebody who's laying on a bed and they have no idea what's wrong with them, and they're there, guess what? The prayer goes forward, yes? And it's up to God to heal, right? Yes or no? But you have the power and the ability to lay hands on them. You have the power and the ability not to go, well, wait a minute. I don't want to. God will fill you just overflowing. So when you go to that point, you know you're supposed to be there. Let's pray. Blessed Father, Almighty Lord, Warrior, Counselor, Defender, Lord, one who loves us, one who knew us, one who guides us, protect us, Lord. Give us your word. Put your word in our hearts and in our souls. Let those who are hearing and watching, Lord, empower them. The ones who are going through things, Lord, guide them, direct them, and protect them. Take your word, Lord, and put it on our hearts. Lord, everything that I say, let it be a blessing to your ears. Everything that I do, O Lord, please always let it be for your glory. In your holy name, amen. So would you, that's the first thing, would you, Acts 6, 1 through 4. There's a need there, right? So it's kind of give you a real rundown real quick. There's a small need, and it's going on between the churches. We'll call it a riff, right? New Testament church. Do we have riffs? Never, right? We're all good saints. Yeah, right, not this one. Right? But they have a small riff going on. They're really not sure how to handle it and what's going on, so we're going to read and we'll figure it out. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who may appoint to this business. But we will give ourselves continually to the prayer and the ministry of the word." Division happens in the church, right? A lot of times it does happen. No matter what we do or how we do it, division happens. We've been to churches before, you walk in and you want to walk out the back door. I mean, you know something's going on. We're not saying Mount Carroll here, right? I'm saying in general, it does happen. The New Testament church, there's a little division between the Hebrews and the Hellenists, right? The church issues are always on many levels. And they're upset because they feel that the widows aren't being taken care of. That's huge. Why aren't the widows being taken care of, right? It's tradition. The family's supposed to take care of the widows. Or do they? Right? So that's kind of what's going on here. What's going on with the Hellenists? Aren't they supposed to take care of the widows? So all of a sudden, the apostles go, "Hey, bring in the disciples, and we're going to take and we're going to elect." And they bring in 7, and they're going to elect them. Now, don't take it lightly. This position is very important with the church. They bring in 7, and the criteria was what? Good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, and wisdom. Simple as that. Or is it? Not everybody has good reputation, right? Not everybody's full of the Holy Spirit. So my question is this: if they bring them before the board or the congregation and they elect 7, right? This isn't a new position. This position also was in the synagogue where they took it. They had 3 there, and that was Parnes. And they took, and those individuals helped take care of the synagogue and everything that went in. They helped take care of the money. They helped take care of the feedings. They helped take care of the simple things like the cleanings. It's huge. The position that we know it now is deacons, right? So our deacons, they take and they get elected. Well, wait a minute. What do the deacons do here? Don't they help take care of the congregation? Yes, right? Do they help take care of the monies? Wow. Tim, thank you. I got one nod out of 50. Yes, right? Hey, do the deacons help set up the tables for the food? Yes. That position is the backbone of the church. Don't take it lightly. That the deacons and the elders and the pastors come together for what? To build the congregation. Yes? To help edify the congregation. Yes? That's what it's for. That position, don't ever take it wisely. That these men are to be full of the Holy Spirit. These men are not only that, they are to be with good reputation and rapport. We just don't want somebody to fall into this role. But I go further. Are you ready for this? I like it. Is there not many jobs in the church to do? What about mowing the lawn? Ooh, that's huge. Picking up sticks so nobody trips and falls. Shoveling. This is my favorite. What about cleaning the bathrooms? Oh, yeah. That's huge, is it not? That's a ministry. Cleaning up after somebody, right? Every position within this church is important. Every position. Everybody within this church has a role and responsibility, and it's called volunteering. Right? Awana? Yes? Huge. Ministering to families that we don't really know, their children, and hopefully bring them into the fold. Huge. Acts chapter 6, 5 through 7. I label this the calling and commission. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And there was Stephen and the man full of faith and Holy Spirit, Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parnaeus, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed and they laid hands on them, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. Great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. The church body had the opportunity to come together and choose. We do it every year, every couple of years, where we actually, hey, who do you want to run? Right? We take and we put their name. Tim, do you want to run again? Yes or no? Hey, Kathy, do you want to run again? Yes or no? Yes, you do. Okay, we put their name down, right? Put them in the box and we take and we decide if we're going to vote for them. It's our jobs and responsibilities as a congregation, as individuals within the church, to look for the better benefit of the church, right? Yes? If our minds are together in collection with the elders, the deacons, and also the pastor, the church will what? Grow. It's proven right here, Acts. It grew. It multiplied. It says further that Stephen, how would you like that? Or Stephen, how would you like that? That a man full of faith, the Holy Spirit. What identity. What huge, right out of the gate, that they're just putting a pin on this individual. I love it, and we'll find out here later why. But fully empowered. And the men came together, and just like we do with the board, right? They come up here up front, and what do? We usher them in, right? We bring them into service. We lay hands on them on occasion, right? Not around the neck, not rattle them, but we hold them. We hug them. We love them, right? Come on, don't we? Yes? It's called a commission. We're commissioning them to do the work. Guess what, church? Matthew 28, go. You're all commissioned. Every one of you, go. Do the work of the Lord. It's not just the pastor's job to do it. It's not just the deacon's job to do it. It's not just the elder's jobs to do it. It's every one of us that says, yes, Lord God, I am a servant. I love you with all my heart, mind, and soul, and I will serve you till the day I die. Toby Mac, awesome song, Day I Die. Listen to it. Till the day I die. If you can get power and if you can get fired up about anything, Start taking in acts. If you're bored because you're depressed, if you're bored because you have bad thoughts, if you're bored because you have stuff going on, read Acts. If that doesn't fire you up, nothing will. It says further, the word of the Lord spread. The seven men were brought before the apostles, and they prayed and they laid hands on them. They empowered them. That's what I've talked about already. They gave them an agenda. And guess what? We have an agenda. What's our agenda? Who knows? Come on, who knows? What's our agenda? It's to spread the word of God, right? Matthew, read it. Matthew 28, go. That's our agenda. You're at work, guess what? Spread it softly. Guess what? Spread it a little louder. And guess what? Spread it a little louder. It's allowed. We can do that. That's our job. I love it here towards the end. It says priests. A huge miracle here that the priests and by, oh man, the priests, they became obedient to the faith. How do we know that some of these priests weren't in the trials of Christ? We don't know. How do we know that some of these priests weren't the ones who can help convict them? We don't know. Do we? But I'll say this much. Miracles don't save people. We agree? Miracles might help change their thought processes, but the truth of the death and the resurrection with the guidance of the Holy Spirit changes people, yes? That is the key. That is what changes our hearts and minds and helps us develop individuals into the understanding of what the word is. Acts 6, 8 through 10, it says the accused, and Stephen, full of faith and power, and great wonders, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what they called the synagogue of freemen, Syrians, Alexandrians, and those of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom of the Spirit by which he spoke. Great wonders is amazing. You know, I wonder, do wonders still happen today? Wait a minute. Great wonders, do they still happen today? Yeah, they do. Do we miss the small ones? Sometimes. What about the simple ability to just talk to somebody on an even level and say, you know what, God loves you, and that's it. Is that not a small? Yeah? It's not just walking into the store and all of a sudden somebody starts talking to you and next thing you know, your hands are on their shoulders, they're sobbing and you're praying for them. Or you're at work. I shared it earlier. You're at work and all of a sudden we have these huge hoppers that hold probably 3,000 pounds of meat. And you're grinding meat and all of a sudden you're talking to a little guy and he's almost to the point of sobbing and you're holding him, and he's from corporate office. You're holding him like a brother, and come to find out he's having a hard time in his walk from corporate office. That's a big no-no. I can get walked out for that. But you know what? God has control, right? God put us in a position, and we have to be able to understand that it's our time to take as church. It's our time to get fired up. It's our time to hand it forward and bring it forward as we can. Acts 6, 12 through 15 is this truth. Would you, if you knew the truth about what's going to happen, would you still do it? Put it this way, if somebody came to my door and arrested me for giving the word, would my wife still profess the word? Would you as church members here right now, if somebody walked through the door and says, where's your pastor, takes Tim and walks him out the door, locks him up, would we still hold to the truth? I hope so. I know I would. Would we say, hey, take me instead, leave him here? Would we? The truth. Everything that is done in secret can be seen. God sees it. It says this, then they secretly induced men to say, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. And they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set false witnesses in place and said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against the holy place of the law. For we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs of Moses delivered to us." And all who sat in the council, looking at Stephen, saw his face to be of an angel. A face of an angel. Through Scripture, it tells us that individuals that have this glowing on their face have been blessed and been with the Lord. This tells me right there that his indwellment, that everything he has, he's full and just fired up with the Holy Spirit. Do we see people like that today? I hope so. I hope so. But it goes further, right? Because what do we know happens in chapter 7? It gets to the point where the council is kind of bashing against Stephen, going back and forth and just berating him and talking to him and ask Stephen one question. And is this true what you say? And guess what happens? All of a sudden it opens up to a history lesson. And he's there and he starts telling them, read chapter 7. I'm not going to read it for you, but I'm going to tell you how it ends. We're going to skip to the end. So at the point of all this, the scribes and everybody there in the council is furious with him. And they grab him and they take him out and they throw him outside the city. He gets outside the city, and I'm going to read it at the end. It says, "Now then they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth. But he, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right side of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son standing at the right hand.'" All through persecution, church, all through everything we do, do we have or would we have the ability to stand there or sit there and just look up to heaven and know that our God has it in control? And give God the glory, give Christ the glory, knows that he has it. That no matter what we're going through, no matter how hard it is, no matter what is happening, that our God has control. With that, I ask the band to come back up. I'll pray, and would you all stand, please? Gracious Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Lord, for today, the ability, Lord, just to read your word a little bit. The things, Lord, that you give us are mighty. You are mighty and powerful and all-loving. We thank you, Lord, for today and tomorrow. In your holy name, Lord, amen.
Lord, my life is an empty cup. Here's my heart, would you fill me up? I'm face to the ground, forsaking my pride, leaving my will, my burdens behind. And all I want, all I need is just to be with you, just to be with you. Here I am at your feet, just to be with you, just to be with you. I have come to the end of me, and there's nothing I have to bring. But you said I belong, you say I am yours. Nothing compares to knowing you more. All I want, all I need is just to be with you, just to be with you. Here I am at your feet, just to be with you. Here I am at your feet, just to be with you, just to be with you. All I want, all I need is just to be with you, just to be with you. Here I am at your feet, just to be with you, just to be with you. You made a way for me, oh Savior, I'm yours forevermore. You made a way for me, oh Savior, I'm yours forevermore. I'm yours forevermore. And all I want, all I need is just to be with you, just to be with you. Here I am at your feet, just to be with you, just to be with you. All I want, all I need is just to be with you, just to be. Just to be with you, just to be with you.
I love that song, and may we remember that that's all we need, is we just need Jesus. As you go out this week, may you be bold for Christ. May you be able to stand firm as the early disciples and the first church did. You know, by the year 100, there was 25,000 Christians. By the year 300, there was over, 2 million is what they expected. And that was because the church was bold. And they went forward and they proclaimed the gospel. As you go out this week, may you be bold. May you proclaim the gospel message to the world around you. In both your speech and your action, remembering that we are ambassadors for Christ in everything we do. God bless. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.